Jesus came. It is a marvelous fact of history. The eternal Son of God, who being in the form of God, and who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Isaiah had seen him in his glory, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Then, miraculously, a virgin was with child, and she brought forth a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and wondrously, the one who had sat in the glory of the throne in heaven was now lying in human flesh in the humility of a manger. Jesus, Messiah, Savior. Were the hearts of men ready to receive their King?
Christ the anointed, oh.
Bethlehem, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. In Jerusalem, a man named Simeon was resting in the promise given to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In the east, wise men saw his star. It was a night like no other. It was different from anything man had ever experienced before. Emmanuel was born. God was with us. Shepherds watched while sheep rested in the night. You could not imagine a more tranquil picture. But these were no ordinary sheep. Shepherds watched them in the country near Bethlehem. They were the lambs that would be brought to the slaughter, sacrificed on the altar, and offering to God in confession of sin. This was the setting God chose for the human birth of his eternal Son. The Lamb of God was born in the vicinity of those sacrificial lambs. He, like them, would be brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and on the altar of the cross, God the Father would make his soul an offering for sin. He would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. With his stripes, He would provide healing for us all. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You cannot have one coming of Christ, though, without having a second. The two are irreversibly linked together. In his first coming, he finished redemption and made the adoption possible. In his coming again, he will fulfill the adoption, that which we wait for, the redemption of our body. Within our faith in what he did when he came the first time lies our hope of what he will do when he comes again.
Was he born of the Father's love to display?
Jesus came 2,000 years ago, there were mixed reactions. When wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Herod the king was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. But others rejoiced to see the arrival of their Savior. Simeon declared, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Anna gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We find ourselves now very much like the people were then, just before the birth of Christ, waiting for him to come again. Are you ready? Does your soul long to see Jesus? Is simple. Simply trust Jesus. That is all. We cannot trust ourselves. There is nothing in us to trust. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us can do enough to save ourselves. We are all hopelessly lost apart from the mercy and grace of God. But Jesus was worthy to accomplish our salvation for us. In him was no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. So Jesus came, and in his sinless eternal self, he bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. By simply trusting Jesus and by simply trusting what he did for us, we all can be saved from sin and live eternally with him. Are you ready to see the King of Kings? Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and declare, he is Lord of my life?
Thank you.
It is a fact of history that Jesus came. He is a real historical figure, although there are a few on the fringe who will deny that there ever was a real person called Jesus. The controversy comes in when the discussion is about where he came from. Too many people today believe that Jesus is just a man. But in fact, Jesus is God, come down from heaven. During this message, I'm going to refer to Jesus as God, because that's who he is. Now, Christmas is not just about a person being born. It is about that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." There certainly is a birth of a child involved. In fact, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, the completion of that with Mary, it says, "She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Christmas is also about God coming to earth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Why? Which being interpreted is God with us. Now they say two or three witnesses are sufficient, but there are many more witnesses than that regarding the true identity of Jesus Christ. Would you turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 11? Luke chapter 2, verse 11. We'll flip through a number of passages here in Luke and Matthew, and maybe one in a couple in Mark, one in John. Seven testimonies regarding the identity, the true identity of Jesus the Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day," and this is the testimony of the angels as they spoke to the shepherds, "unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He is called the Lord. The term we use to refer to the one who sits on the throne in heaven. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Actually, let's see. Yeah, verse 2 is what I want. "The testimony of the wise men as they came into Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" I think these wise men fully understood that Jesus was not just an earthly king, but a divine king. It is true that kings would be thought of as gods in those days and quote-unquote worshipped. But these men understood something beyond what even Herod and the Jews in Jerusalem could appreciate at the time. And they came and they did worship the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 29, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29, "Fallen angels," well, you say that's an odd place to go to get a testimony of the true identity of Jesus Christ, but remember, these were angels who at one time had dwelt in heaven and knew full well who this person was. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?'" They knew fully who he was.
In fact, there's another place in Mark chapter 3 and verse 11 where some other unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." Then over to Mark chapter 15 and verse 39. Mark chapter 15 and verse 39. At the cross, a Roman soldier. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Now you say, well, the Romans worshiped gods, and maybe he was just thinking that Jesus was one of them. But, oh, there's something very interesting about this. The definite article was there. Do you see it? The word "the"? This is the Son of God, which means this Roman soldier was acknowledging that this was one of a kind. Not a Son of God, but the. Not a Son of God's, but the Son of God. The Apostle John, John chapter 1 and verse 1, at the very beginning of his gospel. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Apostle John declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14 of that same chapter, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The Word, who is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. God the Father spoke from heaven, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. God the Father spoke from heaven. It says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And Jesus himself made it very clear in John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38, where Jesus himself says, "For I came down from heaven." I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. These testimonies declare, and there are so many more, that person who was born to Mary, that child whom the shepherds came to see, that child whom the wise men bowed down to worship, was not just a man. He is God. That makes his coming oh so significant. You see, God came to save us. Jesus declared it in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. You know the verse. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the reason he came. That's the reason he was born. That's the reason he was found in human flesh. He came to save us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the message that we need to declare at Christmas time. Many people celebrate Christmas who don't understand why. To so many people, it's just a time of festivity, a time of parties and decorations and lights. To some, it's a social gospel of peace among men. so that we ought to get along with one another. But the message of Christmas is so much more profound than that. The message of Christmas is that God left heaven and came to earth with an express purpose to save us from our sins. And thus he came to give us life in place of our sins. John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." As a result, and you know there's so much grouping of people today, everybody has to fit into a group, whether it's a race or some other kind of social group or gender group or some kind of a group. Everybody fits into a group. There are really only two groups in this world. One group consists of those who believe that Jesus is God who came to save us from our sins. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John chapter 5 and verse 24, that's a reference you should know as much as John 3:16. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That's the one group. The one group consists of those who truly believe that Jesus is God who came down from heaven to earth, taking on him human flesh so that he could save us from our sins, and he did precisely that. The other group consists of those who fail to believe in Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." John 3 verse 36, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." And John 8:24, "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Two groups, that's all there is in the world. Those who believe and are saved and those who do not believe and are not saved. Jesus has promised to come again. I like to think about that this time of year because I like to compare what the people were thinking and sensing just before Jesus came the first time. Some really were anticipating his coming. Remember Simeon, he had been given a promise. He wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. There was real anticipation. I don't think Simeon was the only one that was a believer at the time and understood that Jesus was going to come soon, that the Messiah was coming soon. It was time. The Old Testament, the prophecy in the book of Daniel, gave them a timetable. They could know soon. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." We should have an anticipation of Jesus coming again because he promised to do so. He said, or the angel said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's coming again. We have a wonderful promise. And I like to think about the anticipation that we have to be similar to the anticipation of the people had in his first coming. We can believe that God is coming again because there's several places in the Bible that tell us God cannot lie. He told us the truth. He's coming again. But he's coming again twice. He's coming again once to collect all of those who believe in him. That passage in John chapter 14, he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." But then he'll come again another time to deal with all of those who don't believe in him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." To be sure, when Jesus came the first time, there were lots of folks that had no anticipation whatsoever of Jesus coming. Many people never did know about it, didn't care about it, were surprised when it happened. Isn't it going to be the same the next time around? The question is, which coming again will be the one for you? Will you be ready as a believer when Jesus comes to call us to himself and receive us unto himself, and so that we can ever be with the Lord? Or will you be one of those who will have to wait until the time of judgment because you failed to believe that God came down from heaven to save you from your sins? Don't miss the first coming again. Believe in Jesus now. He is God. Always has been God. Through all eternity, he is God. But God came down to this earth and made himself of no reputation. For 33 years, he lived as a man in time on earth and concluded that mission with bearing your sins, my sins, in his body on a cross, suffering our suffering, bleeding our bleeding, dying our dying, but doing something that we couldn't do for ourselves, paying the price in full. Satisfying God the Father, finishing the work, and then raising up from the dead. We wait for him to come again. May we be a Simeon. We have been given the promise that he's coming. Will we wait with anticipation, trusting in God who came to save us from our sins? If you have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not yet believed in him because of what he did when he came the first time, we invite you to believe today so that you will be ready when he comes again to receive believers unto himself. If you have not received Christ as your Savior, if you are not sure that you are ready for that next coming again, please speak to me following this service. And we'll be glad to share with you how you can believe in the God who came to save us from our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the mission of your eternal Son, for the finished work he accomplished when he came. May each of us in this room be ready for his coming again. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.